With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Case File 28 of Microscope, the show that examines some of the world's biggest mysteries. This time we're looking at the allegations of fraud that rocked the world of horse racing, as we investigate the claims that one competitor was in fact a centaur. I phoned up Hoof Hefner, a racehorse trainer who at one point had an unrivaled career, winning more medals and major competitions than any other trainer. But Hoof's career ended in disgrace a decade or so ago, after he was convicted of fraud and ultimately imprisoned for 2 years. While the reasons for the conviction were never fully explained at the time, Microscope has learned that it was due to Hoof attempting to use a centaur to compete in the races. This seemingly mythical beast, half man, half horse, apparently proved to be a winning ticket for Hoof, though it seems to have eventually led to his downfall. I talked to Hoof about how true these rumours are, but the recording starts with me asking Hoof about how he first developed his love of horses.
My father was a jockey for many years. And then when he was about 25, he fell off his horse and the horse just ran off. That was gone.
Gone for good?
Gone for good. No.
Surely it's on a track that's confined. Horses can't just leave.
Well, this one did, strangely. Right. You know, like you said, tracks are round, but there was a small gap where a horse could run onto a busy main road.
Right.
The horse decided to go through that gap, sadly.
Causing a car crash? Did it get hit by a car?
No, it got into a car.
It hitchhiked?
It did, it hitchhiked.
People are just driving along and there's a horse with its hoof up in the air.
Well, I'd love to watch the CCTV, but apparently the horse ran out of the gap, it jumped on the back of a SUV, a very big car, and basically hot-footed it to Calais, where it then kept...
Kept a low profile.
It did. A bit like Lord Lucan, there were sightings where people wrote in to my dad and said, we think...
We've just seen your horse in Calais.
We think you've seen your horse in Calais, all that kind of stuff.
What were people seeing the horse doing in Calais?
Some were saying it worked in a small kind of parking lot in,
right.
You know, where cars kind of go and all that kind of stuff. There was talk of it being seen just sunbathing in a pool by Bordeaux. But every sighting was followed up by the police, and it was not him.
It was a different horse doing those activities.
Lots of different horses. Again, a bit like Lord Lucan. And, you know, people saying they've seen Hitler and Elvis. This horse was mistaken for a lot of other horses, and it still is to this day. I mean, I'll open a newspaper, and if it's a slow news day, there will always be on page 7 picture of... Basically, it looks like my dad's horse, but he'll have a moustache on and a bowler hat. And they'll go, is this the famous missing horse? And of course it isn't.
And I guess, I don't want to, you know, be accused of being a bigot, but I guess a lot of horses do look the same.
Well, yes. I don't know if you know this, but a horse commentator, when they are commentating on horses, make it up until... the winner is announced.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever heard horse commentary, but they don't know what they're saying because the listener doesn't know what they're hearing.
Yes, they just rely on the fact that it's just a group of horses running along, and at the end they can just announce the winner after they've worked out who exactly it was.
Exactly. I mean, look, if there's 20 horses running towards you, and I'm explaining to you which horse is leading, excuse my French, but you don't give a fuck. You're just going, there's 20 horses rushing towards me, I'm getting out of the way.
Yeah, sure, sure. But commentary isn't necessarily given exclusively from the perspective of someone who's at the finish line in the path of 20 oncoming horses. Surely your perspective is where the cameras are, which is up in the sky.
Well, again...
They don't go, oh, shit, here's the winner, but get out of the way.
Again, I don't want this to turn into a history lesson, but I have to pull you up on that. Right. In the early days of horse commentary, the commentator
was at the finish line.
No. How could it be at the finish line? But he basically, the commentator, usually was a he, would be 200 metres ahead, and he would have to run backwards.
He'd have to keep pace.
Well, he had 200 metres, so even if he couldn't keep pace, they worked it out where when he got to the finish line, the winner would usually just be crossing the finish line as well. Yeah, but that is sure. why, and that is where, and again, I don't want this to become a history lesson, but sure. that is where the panic and the terror and the, quite frankly, desperation of a horse commentator comes from, is from the history books. And I don't want this to become a history lesson, but the history books show that a commentator would be the only person on the racecourse without a horse.
To cut back to the story you were telling us about earlier, so your father, unfortunately, fell off his horse and lost it through this small gap in the fence.
Yeah, small gap, about the size of a horse.
And so how did that inform his perspective on horses and, by extension, your own love of them?
Well, you grow up around horses, you're going to love horses. I don't know many people that grow up around horses and hate them, you know? Unless you grow up around a horse that's, you know, horrible and mean and, like, kind of steals things from you.
Like a rude horse.
Yeah, rude horse, sad horse, you know, moody horse. No.
Your horses weren't moody.
My horse, well, there was one that was moody, but you could make it laugh if you fell over, stuff like that. It kind of laughed at, it would always poke its head through the living room door on a Saturday afternoon and watch You've Been Framed, and he'd laugh at that. But from that, he was a very moody horse. He wouldn't laugh at that.
Bit of a poker face.
Oh, yeah. I did actually play poker once.
Right. with the horse?
No. I was playing poker with my friend, and we were betting a lot of money. And I remember my horse, stood behind my friend, and my friend had a fantastic poker face. But through looking at the reflection of my friend's cards in my horse's eyes, I could see he had two pair. And I beat him with a royal flush.
Yeah. It's quite a good hand to have to cheat on, isn't it? If you got a royal flush, you're not going, oh, shit, I hope I know what cards he's got so I don't go in too high with these.
Yeah, very good point.
And so you've got you've got a fondness for horses, and even the moody horse that you grew up with, you know, proved to be useful in these poker games.
Yes.
You've been training horses. I want to sort of get onto the sort of topic of the mystery, I guess. Someone might say conspiracy as to why we've got in touch with you. But just, can you just give us a flavour of what it's like to train horses? How do you get them up to perform so phenomenally and win all the tournaments and awards that you've won?
Well, I mean, they are an athlete as much as a sprinter, a footballer might be. And the thing is, you've got to get the horses in the gym. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can a horse use a gym? You know, how would they fill out their memberships? How would they get up the stairs, put a pound coin in the locker? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Horses have their own gyms.
Do they? How does it differ from a person's gym? Bearing in mind, we had quite a heavy gym episode 2 weeks ago with Romeo and Juliet, but I suppose you're not familiar with that particular mystery.
No, I can't say I've heard that episode, sadly. But, how is a human... Well, basically, the treadmills are a lot bigger. I've got to give them that.
They're just big enough to accommodate horses. It's what you're saying. They're functionally identical.
Yes, I mean, picture anything in a gym and just adapt it to a horse. That's basically what it is, yeah.
Now, although you've had an illustrious career winning all sorts of competitions...
Thank you.
But it would be fair to say that your career has been dogged by controversy. There's been like numerous allegations of cheating, of foul play, of you intimidating other jockeys, other trainers.
Yes.
Is it as cutthroat as it seems, the horse racing business?
Well, it is. Have you ever seen The Godfather?
Years and years ago.
famous scene in The Godfather where the horse's head is found severed in the bed of a traitor.
As a warning, yeah, I remember.
As a warning, of course. Somebody, well, I'm sure listeners have read about it, heard about it, but it, of course, happened to me 15 years ago. I was getting into bed and someone had cut off my beautiful, his name was the Oxford Dictionary.
That was the name of the horse, yeah.
And they'd cut his head off and left it in my bed.
Having a horse's head in your bed is, I guess, you know, a particular threat in some contexts. But when it's your own horse, I guess that takes on an even, you know, greater meaning.
Well, I won't lie to you. When I did get into bed that night, I was 10 sheets to the wind. I was absolutely
pissed.
Smashed. Absolutely smashed. And when I got in, I didn't actually know what it was. I didn't recognise it. I had no idea. I just remember falling asleep. Anyway, the next morning, I had a terrible raging hangover. I had to go to Berlin that day. And so I got out of bed, packed my suitcase in a rush, and I completely forgotten that I just basically didn't see it. Anyway, I got to the airport, realised I hadn't packed my passport. So I phoned she was like my PA, and I said, can you go into my bedroom? I think I've left my passport.
Passport, yeah, in
my bedside table where I keep all my kind of secret papers.
Right, your secret papers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
she went into the bedroom.
She went into the bedroom, of course. Now, a horse, a bit like, you know, like a chicken, you cut its head off and it runs around still for about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah. But this isn't a chicken, is it? This is a horse. And it's not been 10 minutes. It's been many hours afterwards.
Well, the opposite.
Well, I think what you're implying is you're saying the opposite effect takes place, and that even though this horse's head had been cut off, let's assume at some point the day before, the horse's head continued to move. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know...
That your PA, your housekeeper, whatever, went into your bedroom...
Well, I mean...
And just going, what was he doing? Just neighing?
Will you let me finish the story?
Right.
She goes in, and, you know, again, she just has the last thing to expect. Old Oxford Dictionary's head in the bed. Mm. So she goes into my secret papers. She's rifling through, and she feels this, like, lick on her... her elbow.
Yeah. So she hadn't clocked what had gone on. She just thought there was a lump in the bed.
Well, she was wondering what the hell's this. So she turns around. There's a massive tongue sticking out the
of what bed. Underneath the duvet.
Underneath the duvet. She whisks the takes the duvet off, and the horse is, like I said, the opposite effect of the chicken is that if you cut a horse's head off, the horse's head will still be there, kind of working away. For 24 hours.
Right.
So she was like, what are you doing here?
That was her reaction, was it?
Yeah.
A bloodied head of a horse, still in some way animated to some extent, the brain still sending some signals. That was her reaction. What are you doing here?
What I haven't said is I was on the phone to her at the time telling her where my passport was. So she didn't want to give me a fright. She didn't want to say to me, you know. So she picked it up and brought it downstairs. And the horse was kind of chewing away, just, you know, doing what a horse does, looking around. And she calls me and says, right, I'll be at the airport in 10 minutes. And by the way, I've got a little gift for you. So she puts the horse in the car.
Sorry, she said she's got a gift for you.
Yeah, the head. She thinks
I got that. But you said she's not telling you on the phone because she doesn't want to scare you, but she's going to drive to the airport and then reveal that your prized racehorse is just a head.
Yeah. So I waited outside the airport for her, and anyway, I was waiting outside, and I saw the car pull up, and I thought, who's that sat in the passenger's seat? You know,
yeah, and he looks familiar.
Yeah, he does. He does look familiar.
Right.
Anyway, I walked towards the car, and it was then that I saw somebody had butchered my Oxford Dictionaries.
And this was what? This was a threat to you? This is all part of the cutthroat nature of horse training.
Yes, I'm very successful. I have won a lot of races. I've made a lot of money. And a lot of people are jealous of that. A lot of people don't understand how I win, how I... well, people would argue bend the rules. But yes. I would argue there are no rules to bend.
But there's been a litany of allegations in terms of drug abuse, in terms
of...
You've breached like a lot of rules.
Well, there's nothing in the horse rule book that I'm aware of that says you can't skin a horse, slap it over a motorbike, and, whiz around the track.
Is that how you won the Grand National, I believe, in the last couple of years?
Yes.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Been rumours on a couple of internet web pages that you have some creature, some beast, I don't even know how to describe it, a centaur, some animal that is half horse, half person, and you've been using that to win your races.
Well, a dear friend of mine, Rod Mell, that was his name, Mr. Rod Mell, he was a German chap who one day called me and said, look, will you fly over to Rottweil? We have a little thing we think you want to see.
Right.
I got on the plane, I flew over there, and what I walked into was extraordinary.
This is what, like a research laboratory, or how would you describe it?
Oh, I'd describe it like, something out of James Bond, It was like a little forest. You wouldn't think anything of it. You get in a tree, which was actually a lift, and you go down, and incredibly, there was what can only be described as a laboratory for horses.
Right.
Now, I'm going to be controversial here. A big expense in the horse racing industry is jockeys.
Right.
Now, my father was a jockey. His father was a jockey. I have jockeys in my blood.
But they're a big expense.
They're a huge expense.
Right.
I've written a lot about this, and it's controversial, I know, but I've always wondered how we get rid of jockeys. My prayers were answered.
As you went down in this lift tree to an underground horse laboratory and discovered what?
A centaur. A centaur.
A half horse, half man combination. And this, of course, has been a thing of legend, of myth for years. But this sounds like more, it was like a medical experiment.
It was an experiment, correct. But I was coming in basically when they were selling the experiment.
Right.
They were basically, they'd been working on this for about 10 years and they needed someone with a hell of a lot of money, which is what I've got, to come in and basically buy one of these guys. Now, I wasn't sure about this.
Right, the ethics of it.
The ethics, morally, is it right to buy a half man, half horse? And so I spoke to him for some time, and I said to him, what are the pros and cons here? Why should I take you back to the UK? He said he'd had a rough old life anyway. And he wanted to see the world. And he reckoned he would be a talking point if he walked in a room. And he said something to me which convinced me, actually. He said,
yeah.
I've always wanted to be a talking point.
But despite, I guess, his desire to be a talking point, I assume you wanted the opposite. In the, is this right? You wanted to convince people that it was just a normal jockey on a normal horse, so you could still compete in races as you would have done before.
Correct. I said to him, I want you to be a talking point, but I don't want you to be a talking point for quite a while.
Sure, but how did you smuggle then this centaur back to the UK without arousing suspicion?
Well, I had to, I had to build a front of the horse to make it look like he was actually sat in the middle of a very long horse.
Oh, yeah, of course. I've just realised, because he doesn't have a horse's head. He has a human body.
There's no head.
Yeah, you had to construct, a fake horse's head that he held onto.
Well, if you remember, sometimes you treat me like a fool on this podcast, but I did have a horse's head.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry, yeah, at the airport.
Yes. I decided to bring over the centaur, the secret centaur, and I just told him, look, if anyone tells you to get down, and, he's got, inflatable legs on either side.
Oh, I see. Right, I'm just trying to get a full picture. So he's got inflatable human legs on the side of him. So you're basically trying to make him look like a person on a horse.
Yeah.
And was he effective at racing? I'm going to assume he was, given the success you had.
Well, at the beginning, and now this might sound odd, and I hope it doesn't.
Right. What an ambition for this podcast.
I decided to ride him myself for a few races.
Yeah, okay. Because you've never been a jockey before.
No, I've never been a jockey, but
right.
I thought...
So he's holding this other horse's head in front of him.
Yes.
You're on him as what would look like a second jockey.
Yes.
How on earth are you getting away with this?
Again, this is where my... What word would it be? My reputation... would be for breaking the rules. I said very clearly to the person who goes around and checks the horse, they went round and said, well, hello, Hoof Hefner. Well, this is a first. I've never seen the trainer sat behind the jockey before on the horse.
Right.
And I said, well, there's a first for everything, and the jockey here is actually blind, and I'm just going to tell him right. Which way he's going around the course.
Sure.
If that's okay with you. Really going, do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, the officials, should try and accommodate people regardless of their disabilities.
Of course, he ran off with the tail in between his legs. He felt awful.
Did he?
And as he should.
There's nothing in the rule book about having just one jockey on a horse. You can have as many as you want.
You can have as many jockeys on the horse as you want.
Yeah.
It just so happens that one jockey is lighter than two or three. But
sure.
If you, and I did do it once, 1996, if you watch the footage back, I did put a horse there with seven jockeys.
Seven jockeys.
I did.
Right.
And, like I said, you can watch the footage. They didn't make the first jump, but I remember the, I don't know what you want to call the judge, whatever. He came around with a bit of paper. Yeah, and he looked at them. And he looked at me, and I said...
you've got a problem with me having seven jockeys?
Do you have a problem? And he went, no. And he left with the tail in between his legs.
Sure.
I must tell you that, because he was embarrassed that he'd even thought there was a
problem. I mean, despite your reputation as a bit of a cheat in horse racing, you've got quite a progressive outlook with respect to who should be jockeys for you and the number of jockeys you're allowed to have.
Well, all I'll say is, thank God he didn't actually look at the horse, because there was another 10 in there.
Was there indeed, right. So you've got this debut race, you've got the centaur.
Yes,
and
yes.
And you've got you as a jockey behind him.
Yeah.
Trying to give the impression there were two jockeys. He's holding the horse's
head. Well, I'm just whispering in his ear saying, left.
But he's not actually blind, is he?
No. I mean, the thing is, he also had to pretend he was riding the horse, even though it was his legs. He did feel a bit like... I could tell he was thinking, yeah, I know it's left. I mean, I'm running.
Yeah. Does he... Yeah. This is such a specific question with respect to the biology of it, but when a centaur runs, does he have to pump his arms as if a human's running? What does he do with his arms when he's running at full pelt like a horse?
It's a fantastic question, and you know what? In all of my life, no one has ever asked me that.
Right.
I told him if he has his hands like a human, someone's going to spot that, because jockeys don't do that.
No.
So what I made him do was put his arms out behind him like it was...
Behind his back?
Yes, but stretched out so I'm holding them. Like a lead. Like, a you know, like what jockeys have when they're pulling at a horse's neck.
Oh, I see. So you're almost like a jockey for him.
Yes.
He's trying to be a jockey. You've claimed he is blind, and so you are being a jockey for him. And how did you fare in this race? I'm guessing you won inexplicably.
Oh yeah, we won. Right, yeah. But people were not happy. People smelt. I think it was when the horse's head fell off at the seventh.
Yeah.
Look, it didn't look great.
Did it not?
No, but I told him, it doesn't matter, because if we're going fast enough, it will be blurry and no one will see a thing.
Yeah, of course. But surely at the end of a race, you stop.
Yes. Well, I hadn't factored that in when we stopped. Okay. Everyone couldn't believe
that crucial aspect.
when we stopped, people were
gone.
Oh, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. But I quickly got him into a truck, drove away. I said, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
And did you get complaints from the other trainers? How did they handle losing by such a significant margin to what sounds like a bit of a con?
Well, the trainers, you know, they wanted to meet him. They were saying, I was getting calls going, oh, well done. That new boy that you...
Yeah, your new jockey.
It's really lovely that you're helping him out, but we'd like to meet him because we don't know where he's been. Mm. Now, I thought, how am I going to do this? So I said, sure. This is what I do. This is what you got to know about me. I just say, yeah, I agree to anything, and then I worry about it when it actually needs worrying
yeah,
about.
I mean, if that hasn't been the theme of this podcast as a whole, I don't know what is. So you invite these horse trainers round.
I invite them all round, and I said to the centaur, I said, look, I'm going to keep them sweet. I'm going to get them boozed up. There's about six of them. I said, we'll all sit in the circle in the living room. All you've got to do is poke your head around the door at about 6 o'clock.
And say hello. Because, of course, I get you don't want to reveal that he's part of the horse. You just want
exactly.
You want to show off his top part.
To show off the top.
And these horse trainers might notice the bottom of a horse sticking out of this man.
They know a horse when they see one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. So you get them around your house.
Yeah, I said to, and you know, I got him a bit drunk. I'm handing out beers. I'm saying, look, let bygones be bygones.
Right.
Let's all have some fun. Let's chill out. And they were saying, yeah, great. But where's the boy? Mm. And I'm like, don't worry about him. He's fine. He's asleep. He's tired. He had a big race. And they were like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I text him and I said, look, just come down the stairs and say you're tired, but you just wanted to say hello.
He was upstairs, was he?
He was.
Is it easy for something with the body of a horse to navigate stairs?
Well, I hadn't factored this in.
Right.
And obviously, a horse coming downstairs makes a hell of a lot of noise.
I bet it does, yeah.
I had to... We had a bit of music on, and when I heard him coming, I had to turn the music up really loud, you know.
Really loud.
No one knew why, but I was like, oh, no, let's have a bit of a party, come on.
And what sort of music were you listening to?
Annoyingly, it was like loads of horses.
Yeah, right.
You know, loads of horse kind of noises. Yeah, like I like listening to horses, kind of just ambient horse music.
Sure.
I'd not got the CDs right, and I was a bit embarrassed about that. They were like, oh, is this what you listen to in your spare time? Oh, anyway. I thought, well, actually, this is perfect because it covers him coming down the stairs.
Sure. Does he make horse sounds himself as a with his human mouth?
When he's tired, yeah, when he's tired. But
he's got the residual horse nature still in him.
Yeah, but he also does speak, fluent English and German.
Yeah, sure.
So there was a knock at the door.
Of the living room, the inner door.
Yes, so the living room. And, you know, again, we've had a few drinks now and the music's playing. I've changed it now.
It's right, okay, it is music.
It's like whale music. I've got, like, I listen to a lot of CDs to calm me down.
Ambient animal sounds.
Yeah, so I've got these whales going off in the background. Very loud whale music.
Yeah. This will be a delight to listen back to. This soundscape, won't it? Let's just say that you've turned off the whale soundtrack anyway.
I'll turn off that because people hate that. Anyway, silence. Bam.
Sure.
Knock at the door. Mm. Who's that? And one of the
trainers.
One of the women. Well, one of the women trainers went, "Well, I think our guest has finally woken up." Mm. I fling open the door.
Yep.
Now this guy, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if something had been lost in translation. Sure. I don't know if...
You'd asked him to try and hide his bottom half.
Yes, but he has got it, I mean, literally head over tit, and he's got his arse sticking out of the, sticking in the doorway.
Right, so just the horse's rear.
Yeah. So everyone's looking, going, "Well, hang on a minute, that's the horse." And I'm like, "So it is." And they went, "Well, who the fuck knocked?"
Yeah.
Now, it's a good question. So I poked my head out the door and they were all sat down. And I went, "Yeah, the jockey's here as well. He's just at the other end of the corridor."
Yeah.
They went, "Oh, well, get him." So I went, "Yeah, right." I said, "Get rid of the horse and then come back."
Yeah.
And he did that, but he obviously did that very quickly because he turned around.
Yeah, of course, right.
You know, there are a few "how long's your corridor" kind of questions, but I didn't
rise to it.
Exactly, I did not rise, thank you.
He turns round, and is he trying to put his horse legs behind the door, lean round? What's he doing?
Well, he's just leaning, yeah, he's at 45 degrees. He's like at an angle, right. You know?
Sure.
So, he's waving. You know, he's ripped. He said, hello. "How are you all?" Now, remember, he's also blind.
Well, that's your cover story.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's not. But, you know, everyone's like, "Hello, congratulations. Fantastic race yesterday. You must be very proud." And he said, "Yeah, I can't believe it. Can't believe it. My first race. I'm over the moon. And then he starts yawning. He's like, "You must excuse me. I'm very tired. I'm very tired."
And because he's tired, he does what? A sort of horse's yawn.
Exactly right. Right. He kind of yawns, and then the yawn is fine. The inhale is fine.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, "Yeah, he's tired." The young man's
human,
tired.
Human noise.
The exhale, bugger me. You know,
something's not right.
The lips are going mad. You know, the teeth. He's got horse's teeth.
Has he? Right.
Yes, he does.
And also, you know, jockeys sort of known for being generally shorter people, and this lad's like 9 foot tall or whatever.
Yeah, he's tall, this bloke. You know, people are like, "Oh, you know," people don't want to judge, of course, but they're thinking, "Well, that seems a bit odd. Something ain't right there, you know, something ain't right."
Something ain't right.
Anyway, I said, "You better go to bed. You look tired. We've got a big race on Saturday."
Yeah.
And of course, that was where everything went wrong.
And just to remind us, what happened? What, he turned around and everyone just saw that the back of him was a horse.
I said to him, "You know, off you go to bed." And he went, "Well, I just need a glass of milk." Yeah. And walked past everyone.
clearly a horse.
And he was clearly a horse. Now, outrage in the living room. People really kicked off. And I said, "Look, you can either fight this or we can club in together and make a lot of money." Mm. And after hours of negotiation, we clubbed together and decided to keep it between ourselves. And, well, like I said, the rest is history.
Yes. I mean, I was going to say that ultimately you were caught, weren't you, by the officials and banned for some years?
We all were. We had made a lot of money. Because, of course, we didn't have the extra weight of a jockey because he was his own jockey.
Yeah.
And again, if I was someone who went around prisons or primary schools, that would be my lesson. I would say...
Sorry, that would be your lesson?
Yeah, that would be my lesson. Don't buy a jockey. Don't make a jockey. Be the jockey. You know, be your own jockey.
I mean, we need to wrap this up, but is that lesson relevant to school children and prisoners? What does that mean?
Well, it is.
Unless you're a centaur in a horse race, what does be your own jockey mean?
You know, whip yourself into shape.
Right, I see.
Whisper in your own ears that you can do it, you know?
Well, that's a good message. And then very quickly, yes. What happened to the Centaur? Obviously, you were banned from a few years, as were some of your co-conspirators, as it was ultimately deemed. What happened to the Centaur?
Well, everyone loved him. He had a great sense of humour. He had the German deadpan with, the body of a horse. I mean, there was just no way around it, you know?
Yeah, can't ignore that aspect.
He toured the country, a theatre tour, started with small theatres, ended up in 3,000 seaters, you know?
What was it? What sort of stuff was he doing on stage? Like an audience with?
Well, like I said, he was an extremely funny man. Right. And off his own back, he actually was just a funny stand-up comedian. And what no one knew, and he became very famous on the radio, and he booked a tour, and no one knew they were coming to see a Centaur. And so he thought, well, what a brilliant encore, you know? So he would, he had great...
What do you mean an encore? Surely you'd see it from the start.
No, he had suits designed to hide it.
Right.
And then at the end, he'd walk out, and the suit would whisk away, and you can imagine the applause that would break out when he would trot around the stage. I mean, it was absolutely,
it was something to behold.
You know?
So, just to clarify, he do stand up for the first half of the show wearing a suit that, although you've not specified in detail, hides the fact that the complete bottom of him is a full-sized horse, and then for an encore, he'd come on and remove that.
Yeah, he'd just take his trousers off, and the trousers would he wouldn't have legs, he'd have a horse.
Sure.
And everyone would cheer. And I remember after I served 2 years in prison, I managed to only do two for good behaviour, I went along to watch him at the Theatre Royal in Derby.
Yeah.
And I wept. When at the end he took his trousers off, and you saw the beauty of his body, and I remembered just how good a racehorse he was, and I waited round the stage door, and he was signing autographs, and he was getting into his wagon.
He had a horse box.
Yes,
attached to a limo.
Yeah, and he went in backwards, so obviously he could look out and wave at the back of the horse box.
Yeah,
and I handed him an apple, and he took it, and he said, oh, thank you very much, and he looked at me, and he took one bite of the apple, and he spat it out, and he drove off, waving, that's his, like, topless, waving, and I thought, I will never forget that man.
And horse.
I will never forget that man.
Well, Hoof Hefner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you listening to my story. And, thank you very much.
Well, that's what we've got time for. I think we might have one more episode before the new year as a Christmas special, but if we don't, have as merry a Christmas as you can, given the social hellscape that 2020 has become. Follow our Twitter account, @MicroscopeFun, for details of live gigs, which surely will start happening in the new year, surely. But until then, remain vigilant, and catch you next time on Microscope.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.